Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How is my favorite girl today?
I am lovely, Cindy. How are you?
Good, and you're enjoying the beautiful weather we've been having?
Yes, I am.
Good. It's been a great summer.
And what about you? You and TJ are always very, very outdoorsy. What are you guys doing in this lovely weather?
We've been, like, riding our bikes and then, you know, swimming, and we've been walking, like, maybe 4 or 5 miles and stuff like that, just trying to get – and then we'll jump in the bay and swim. We've gone to the beach. We've gone sailing. So we really had a nice – you know, summer. I try to get a little bit out there because, you know, the winter was long, remember, so, you know, I want that outdoorsy.
Awesome.
So things are
good.
No,
absolutely, absolutely. Because you know what? And what's funny is that, like, I'm hearing a lot of people now, and it's kind of funny to me because, you know, we obviously had some very, very warm days there. And, you know, I was just loving it because I just happen to, you know, love the heat. But all I heard was people complaining, oh, my God, it's so hot. Oh, my God, it's so muggy. Oh, my God, it's so this. Like, and these are the same people that all winter I heard, when is the warmer weather going to come? Oh, it's so cold. Oh, it's so, like nobody appreciates anything. You got what you asked for. It's hot, and now you're complaining about it.
Right? It's so funny because I always tell people, like, in the winter, I just bundle up, and I walk, and it's, you know, 20 degrees. We were in Vermont. It was 10 below zero. You bundle up. You don't feel it. In the warmth, I go by the water. I swim. It cools you off. You feel great. You know what I mean? So I said, yeah, you've got to, like, kind of acclimate to the weather, and it is what it is. So it's easier if you accept what is.
Yeah, seriously.
I know. But it's something, it's kind of like making people aware of their negative mindset. You'd be surprised how many clients I'll try to push, you know, put the idea in the head. You know, you are being negative. You are playing victim a lot. And they go, no, I'm not. I'm not negative. And then, like, 2 seconds later, they'll say something negative. I'm like, that's a negative thing you just said. And like, huh?
Yeah.
So
I think the problem is that most people don't even realize that they're being negative.
Yes, and that you just, it just becomes a habit, you know, just everything. Humans are creatures of habit. So it's kind of cultivating a positive mindset as opposed to a negative mindset. And, you know, it's a little something we try to strive to get people to be a little more positive mindset, not to have blinders on, not to be practicing denial, not to be stupid. But for the most part, you know, being more positive and just expressing positive things, and that becomes a habit. Do you find it's becoming a habit with you now, Nicole, just to be more positive? And you had to work on it, correct? You had to work on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, because you know what it is? Like I said, most people don't realize it. And, like, they think that a lot of, like, the small, like, little things that they say and the small, like, little nuances in their life, they really, really go unnoticed as far as what their motivation is. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, I never realized how often I used the words can't or don't in everyday speech until I made a point to spend an extensive period of time trying to speak without using any kind of conjugation of negativity there, you know. And like even the word don't, like you would think that, you know, like you know, do not, and you know, you could use it in any context, and you don't really equate that with being negative, but it actually really, really is, and you just don't even realize it. You're so conditioned to accept that as a point of speech and as a part of life that you don't even realize that it actually can be the exact reverse of what you want and do damage.
Exactly. And, you know, I always say negative people always have a problem for every solution you offer them. No matter what solution I'm giving, they've got a problem with it. So, I mean,
well, you know what? I always say, and this is like a gym thing, you know, from being at the gym so much, like, you know, one of the things that we always say is, you know what, that you can't have excuses. You know, don't find an excuse why you can't work out. Don't go for an excuse as to why, you know, you can't be at the gym. Don't make an excuse as to why you can't lift heavier. Like, no excuses, because the bottom line is that, you know, those who you know, need an excuse will find one, you know. And that's kind of like the same thing when you're dealing with positive versus negative and things like that. You will always need, you know, if you really want that excuse to be negative and you want that excuse to be, you know, to be present, and you want to use that as a reason for you not to accomplish something, not to try something, not to do something that you're supposed to do, not to keep your word, you'll find that excuse. You know, it doesn't matter how weak it is, you will find it.
Exactly. And, you know, even sometimes when I'm posting on my Why Good People page, Facebook page, and it's a positive thing, and you know, about life or something, the person says, well, that's never going to happen for me. I'm like, why do you put that in writing? Why do you say something like, you know, just don't say anything. But if you're saying something negative about a positive post or something, it's just the universe is hearing you saying, okay, you know, love is never going to happen. Well, it's never going to happen to me, love. If you say that, then it's not going to happen. So it's kind of getting people to realize that the universe hears our words and, you know, takes them seriously. So, you know, if people keep saying, I'm never going to find love, then it's never going to happen. And, you know, of course, I don't know. I don't reply to those remarks, but I certainly don't like them. I don't say like that answer. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm not going to like that answer. But let's put this week, you know, between this week and next week, let's get our listeners to be a little more conscious of saying positive things, of, you know, seeing the world with a little bit more positivity. And again, we don't tell people to have blinders on. We tell people to see the world for what it is. And it can be hard at times, but seeing it with a little more positive mindset really makes it all the better. You know, it makes it so much better. And, you know, if it's hot and you're hot outside, do something to cool off. Do something, you know. Do whatever you need. Put your hair up, whatever it takes to make you feel a little cooler. But, don't you find sometimes people are just not dressed right? They're not dressed warm enough. They're just dressed too warm. You know, sometimes you just got to get out there and figure out that you dress differently for the weather.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And that goes across a lot of other things, too, you know? I mean, just like with the weather, dress accordingly, you know, whether it's cold or hot. But you know what? You know, it's you have to be adaptable. Anything that's uncomfortable for you, whether it's something that's physically uncomfortable or even mentally or emotionally uncomfortable, if you make that, you can't adjust other people. If you make those adjustments, you will in turn be more comfortable.
Right, and it's something very interesting. I was reading a book once about a man who was a Holocaust survivor. And he said prior to living in Auschwitz, he was one of the most neurotic men on the planet. He couldn't sleep unless the temperature in the room was a certain temperature, unless he had a certain pillow, unless he had his blanket, unless the sheet was this way, unless this was that way. He said, in Auschwitz, I slept on a cement with nothing and fell instantly asleep because I was so tired. He said, funny how I learned to sleep in the worst possible, most uncomfortable fashion. And he said after that, it changed him to realize you don't need everything to be just a certain way in order to be happy. It can be different. It could be whatever. He said he was just happy to have a few hours sleep, no matter what condition it was. So I thought that was interesting to see. Sometimes, you know, we get more neurotic about things and we think we need everything a certain way. And if it's not a certain way, then we're not happy. And adapting is very important. What you said, we have to be adaptable. And sometimes that's a good thing about going on a vacation. You break your habit. You sleep in a different place. You eat a little different food. It's a different weather. And it kind of breaks a pattern. So maybe we just need to break patterns from time to time so we don't get so used to everything being a certain way and we think we can't survive unless it's that certain way.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, we do have a lot of listeners. I know Jimena is supposed to call in today, but I don't see her so far. But Okay.
Okay.
So we can always go to the first caller, as we always do. And, of course, it's not screened, so it's always potluck here. So.
Yep. But we are going to go to the first caller who's been waiting the longest. All right. And just so that you know that we're speaking to you, the last four digits of your number are 7205. And let's see who is waiting for us there. Hello.
Hi,
you're on
Cindy.
The air.
Hi.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. And who is this?
Oh, this is my roommate.
Okay, that's quite a name.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is the first time I call in. I have a question about the relationship I'm in right now. Is that okay? Can I ask you?
Sure, that's perfect. And I'm so glad that you're so brave and called in. Thank you for calling into us. We love
you.
We love
it's
that.
It's so hot and fresh.
It takes courage to call in. So we're very proud of you. And, of course, our music is playing for some reason. Let me see if I could get it. Okay. Now, how long has this relationship been in play?
It started this winter, January. But it's very weird relationship. I don't even know what to call it.
Thank you. You called into the right show because, you know, we talk about this every week. Are you a booty call? Are you a friend with benefit? Are you a hookup? I mean, people don't give a label, so nobody seems to know what they are. And you're a little bit old-fashioned girl, so I think this probably is not sitting well with you. But again, we need to address the fact that women have to start being more emancipated in their relationships. I know women are very publicly emancipated. I'm sure you work in all of that. But privately, they seem to be allowing, you know, men or you know, to call all the shots. I mean, is he the one that's evading what this is? Are you allowing him to do that? Have you asked him what are you? Have you just come out and saying what are we to each other?
No, I mean, I haven't had the courage to make this clear because I'm afraid of losing the relationship.
Thank you for being honest. Thank you for that answer. And you had courage to call us. And I'm so proud of you. But picture if we don't ask things and we don't say them, it is usually because we're afraid. We're afraid to lose the person. We're afraid to, you know, what's going on. But I want you to love yourself the way you would love your own daughter or the way you would love a woman that you take care of, a young woman. Would you tell her, you know, just tolerate whatever this man is doing, or would you tell her, love yourself enough to ask, what am I to you? Who am I to
That's
you?
Right.
And realize that the men are the new masters over women. I think we have at least one caller a week in which this is brought up, where they're telling women how close they could come. And it's in the gay world as well. There's always one person that tends to call all the shots, but being that you're a woman in a relationship with a man, he's the master over you. He's the one that's telling you, you can come this close to me, but not that close. You can see me on this day, but not that day. I mean, at this point, you must start feeling a little bit depressed over the situation.
Oh, I'm so depressed.
And that's
so happy to be with him, and at the same time, so depressed.
Right, because you obviously have deep feelings for him. Do you think that he's a soulmate? I'll describe what a soulmate is because you probably have not listened to our show before. A soulmate
no,
is
but,
someone...
No, but I read your books, and
You did? Well, thank you.
Of
so
course.
So thank you so much. That even makes me even happier. I love you now so much. Anybody reads my books, you're like my best friend. I could come over and just kiss you and give you a hug. But soulmates are someone... Do you have a heart connection with this man? Do you feel that heart connection?
Yes. Oh, my God. The thing is that, Cindy, could you tell... I don't know. He's my teacher, and... you know, the attraction was so strong, and he's much older. He's like 30 years older, and I just don't know how to make sense of this.
Okay, now, if you've read Grant Me a Higher Love, you know that you are asking for a soulmate. Don't even whisper those words, Grant Me a Higher Love. Don't even say the name of the book if you don't want a higher love, because the universe hears that as a prayer. And soulmates, if you know from reading Grant Me a Higher Love, can have age differences. They can have racial differences. They can have religious differences. It's not usually, not always the easy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, he may have felt, you know, there's a big age difference, and maybe that was something that he had thought about too. But, you know, because he was your teacher, it already started almost not on an equal footing. Is he no longer your teacher?
Yeah. No,
okay.
No, he's still.
Okay, so, and you know, usually teacher-student relationships are not, you know, very kosher or acceptable. I mean,
yeah.
In the school, you know, so is this having to be kept secret, this relationship, by the way?
He asked me to not tell anybody about, not even I'm studying with him, because he's super popular and he doesn't want to tell, he doesn't want me to tell other people that I'm studying with him, not even the relationship. I haven't
okay.
even asked him about the relationship.
Okay, but are you sexual with him?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a relationship. So, you know, there's something going on there, but can you see you're allowing him to be the one who's controlling everything here?
Yes.
And, I mean, have you asked him, is he seeing other people? Did you have that conversation?
I want to ask, but I haven't. I'm so
okay.
afraid.
Now, in this day and age of HIV and herpes, you might be a little more afraid of venereal disease than asking a man if he's sleeping with somebody else. it is your body.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if you're practicing safe sex, there's nothing truly safe about safe sex, and 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, asking him, you've been together 6 or 7 or 8 months. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
a time when you have to ask him. He has some commitment issues, what I could see here. And
yeah.
I think
so busy. He's just like a workaholic.
Right, and
yeah.
That's what he hides. He hides behind his work. And, you know, a great mind doesn't necessarily mean a person is going to be a great person to be in love with. I mean, Forrest
mm-hmm.
Gump didn't have a great mind in that movie, but he certainly had a great heart, soul, and body, and he knew how to love. Sometimes brighter people have more trouble with loving.
Yeah,
and
he's so bright. It's so true.
I know. I'm just telling you that, you know, it's not always a great blessing to fall in love with an extremely intelligent human being, because
yeah.
sometimes they're really hard, you know, to communicate with. He can be a little moody, by the way. I can see that in these cards. So
mm-hmm.
I can understand how you sometimes tiptoe around him. But
mm-hmm.
it's up to you to be the one who says, well, we've been together a while, and, you know, I'm wondering what I am to you. Am I your girlfriend? Am I, you know, what am I to you? And you have to be prepared for the answer. If he says, well, you know, we are what we are, and this is what we are, and this is what we're going to be, you have to accept this isn't going to be anywhere other than where it's going. I mean,
yeah.
When are you done with school?
Oh, it's not a school. It's a private lesson.
Okay. So you're always
going to... in school.
Okay, so you're always going to kind of, you know, be learning from him.
Yeah.
There'll be a point where you may have to stop having him as a teacher if he doesn't want...
Yeah.
You know, people to know who you are if you're his student.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you might ask him these things, but soulmates are not meant to be two people that only work privately behind closed doors. I mean, you two
yeah.
work well behind closed doors, but there is a point where soulmates have to be brought public. It's a beacon of light for the world to see. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think you probably like being his dirty little secret, because after a while it starts to feel that way.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Why aren't you showing me off? I mean, true love, you want to show off the person. You want people to know this is the person I love, and you want
yeah.
that person to show you off as well. So,
mm-hmm.
it you know, it's a little bit up to you to start asking him the questions at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise you're going to get more and more depressed. I mean, he's
yeah.
a man who seems to have had a hard time committing to women,
mm-hmm.
And that, you know, you're definitely, there's a soulmate connection here. He feels that heart connection, that soul, that mind, that body, but he's trying to keep it something less than soulmate. So,
yeah.
I mean, you might not like his answer, by the way. He tends to be a control freak as well.
Yeah.
And true love, you're not in control of your feelings. Are you in control of your feelings right now? No. But you might end up not liking him if this goes on, like, for a while. So, when you're with him, do you feel that he loves you? Is he good to you when you're with him?
Yeah.
So
yes.
you feel all of that, but
yes.
it's a lot of mixed messages are going on here. In other words, behind
yeah.
closed doors, he's one way; in public, he's another way.
Yeah,
and
because I just got talked to him. He was on tour for like 2 months; like he was not available. He was just so busy, TV interviews and music and he delivers, you know, he did a great job for everything. And finally we talked and he's hosting the retreat tomorrow for one week, an intense study. And I wanted to go, but I didn't have a chance to ask him if I can go. And I asked him if I can go, and he said this year they got the most amount of the people, and there's no room, and the old classes are full, and he rejected a lot of people already. But I just thought, like, maybe he just don't want me to show up.
Right, and I think that's probably the truth here.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you need to be a little bit honest with him that, you know, you may be one of his students, but maybe that has to stop that relationship. If you want to have another kind of relationship with him, it's being honest with him that you mm-hmm. want to come a little bit first here, don't you? That you matter, that he would want to bring you to this. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't be pretending that something's not there. And,
right.
you know, it's not healthy for you. Can you see that it's not healthy for you at this point?
No.
I mean, you seem
I'm
like you're a very
mental.
Liberated woman. So here's a man calling all the shots. This can't be sitting well with you.
No.
So, you know, love can be fixed 2 feet in a relationship or 2 feet out. You guys kind of have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. So, you know, ask him, you know, and there's no reason, you know, you're both of age, you're both grown-ups. There's no reason this has to be so sneaky and hidden.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, confront him on it. He may say, I'm not ready for a relationship. But, you know, he's not a young man. Like, when are you going to be ready? When you're 100? So, you know, I think he doesn't want to end it with you. He wants it to go on just as it is. And it probably could go on like this for a very long time. But it's up for you who wants a soulmate and wants a committed relationship and wants, don't you want someone that you could go places with in public? And
Totally. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no reason you guys can't go out on a date or any of that. And if you can see, you sort of don't have that courting thing going on. He hasn't really wined and dined you and gone out with him.
Yeah.
Like, so you sort of are in this relationship, but you don't know each other in the outside world that well. So what I would advise you is to, you know, when he comes back from his retreat, you know, let him, of course, go and do his good work that he must do. And then say to him, you know, I would want to be more than this. This isn't really what I want. And, you know, be prepared for him to say, well, I'm sorry, this is all you're going to get. Then you're going to have the courage.
So which one I should give up, if, like, relationship or the studying with him?
It may not be your choice. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you tell him you're not going to be taking the music lessons with him, you're not going to be doing that anymore because, you know, you would step away from that so you could have a relationship. That doesn't mean he'd still have one with you. So you might want to ask him, you know, what do I need to do to make this be a relationship? If I need to end the teacher-student relationship, I will do that. If he says that's not going to make a difference, I really don't want anybody to know, that's not a very good answer. Like, that's usually, you know, that's a man who can't commit. And, you know, do me a favor and call in like 2 weeks or so or 3 weeks when you've talked to him.
Yeah.
Because if you want somebody, and you're young, do you want children in the future?
Probably. Not soon, but probably.
Probably. Yeah. Then, you know, you can't sort of be dangled along for a million years with this guy.
Yeah. It's so weird because his first priority is his family, but family means like his siblings and nephews. They're always communicating all the time.
Right,
but
and soulmates
are
supposed to come first, by the way, and the family comes second. But, you know, he may choose them over you. He may choose, I mean, people who have, you know, that much commitment phobia just really need a lot of therapy. You know, there's, maybe it's more than you can, you know, deal with. But, it's, you know, you letting him know that you want to be a top priority, that you want to be treated with, you know, important. And why shouldn't you be meeting his friends and family?
I know, right?
That shows commitment phobia. Commitment phobias can't let us meet their inner circle, their family, their friends. They keep us very separate. They can't spend a birthday with us, a special occasion. They call all the shots. The man has some level of narcissism. Are you aware of that? Where it's all about him at some level.
Yeah, that's right.
And judgment. He's afraid of what people will say if he's with his student. Maybe he's afraid because
totally.
Such an...
Because he teaches at a college, and like I could be like, you know, I could be this college student age, you know.
Right, and so I think that he may be afraid of what people will say and do.
So
it shows that he has a level of manipulation and judgment, even if he's only judging himself so harshly.
Yeah.
And those might not be traits that are fixable at his stage and his age. So pretty much being honest, you know, but you have to be really stand by your guns, which means if you tell him, I'm not going to be this way anymore, then, you know, you can't, you know, walk away and a week later you're calling him. You've got to kind of stand firm on this. And perhaps he will miss you.
So I should be ready to just take a break.
Be prepared to take 2 feet out. And again, it's been going on too long for this. It's not 3 months. It's a long time now. And you have a right to be, you know, you're someone, a man should want to show off and be proud of. And I think it's making you, it's going to affect your self-esteem after a while, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. We don't want that happening, do we?
No.
So do me a favor and call in and let us know what happens. Just be honest. The best thing is to just talk about what you're not talking about. I don't understand. Human beings are very afraid to talk about the issues that need talking about. They talk way too much, people, about nothing that matters. But
that's
they seem to never say what matters.
That's right.
You know, just get it out in the open now and see what's there. And tell him it hurt him that he didn't ask you to come to that retreat or save a space for you. I mean, that would have been something that would have been considerate, don't you think?
Yeah, totally.
Good, I'm glad that you could. Well, call in and let us know. We want to try to take another caller or two, so good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Now, that took a lot of courage, that call, don't you think, Nicole?
Yes, it did.
Now, I see we have Claudia, and then you're going to... after her, we're going to do Jimena, which is the next, the 381, 516.
Okay, so tell us
about Claudia in New Jersey.
Okay, well, Claudia has called in before, Cindy, and right now she's kind of toying with the possibility of going back to school, but she's being a little bit indecisive about it. So she's, you know, tinkering with it, but she's not sure what she's going to take and you know, what's really happening in that whole scenario that she's kind of playing out in her head. So she wants to know if the cards are going to tell her anything, you know, and give her some direction as far as that is concerned. But also, based on something that you said in her previous call, she would like to give you an update on something
that you
have previously told her. So we're gonna try to help out Claudia here today, figure out what her intentions are going back to school, and also get a very, very hopefully good update from her.
Okay, good.
Hello, Claudia. You are on the air.
Hi, Nicole and Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Claudia. Thanks for calling in again. And so you can start with the update because I like to hear updates, and I know our listeners like to hear any updates, too. That seems to make them happy.
Well, last time I called, you told me to be very careful with my ex-husband.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. You told me that, you know, he was full of, like, tricks, that he couldn't be trusted. And that if he stopped paying child support, to go after him. Well, you know, he has recently stopped paying child support. And I'm like, so I'm definitely going to go after him.
Too bad you're not in New York, because they'd go take his driver's license away now if he doesn't pay his child support. But, okay, so you're going to go after him, and he's going to, you know, try to guilt you and make you feel like you're a bad person doing this, but you know, you need to get that money. It's very important that you go after him, and you know, he doesn't expect you to go after him, by the way.
Right.
You're just going to go, okay, pay me when you can.
Right. I think that makes a lot of sense. Because you know, when I would tell him that, like, I'm going to get a divorce, we're going to get divorced, I think he never took that seriously either. So yeah, he's, I don't know. Yeah.
So he doesn't quite believe that you're not the girl with the rose-colored glasses that used to always believe his bullshit. He's still trying to figure out what she's not that same girl. And
yes.
He thinks that you won't punish him, that you're your brother's keeper. You won't go after him. You won't hurt him. But once you file for it, he's going to be really nasty and probably pretty mean. So you just be prepared for that, and just speak to him if he should say, look, my intention in doing it is not to hurt you, but you're taking money from, our child, and I'm sorry, I can't have that. I'm sorry. Just keep it that it's about the money for your child. It's not about him personally.
So
you don't attack him and say, you lousy deadbeat, Watch how you phrase things. But it looks like you will get the money from him, by the way. So that's good news. Now, as far as going back to school, back to school is a very expensive prospect. And unless you're really sure what you want to do, you might be best to take some time to think about that. I mean, a lot of people just feel like, I got to get another career. So they just, take something. But it's so expensive. And unless you need a license to operate something, going back to school is something that costs you, because you can't work too much while you're going to school, and it costs money. Do you have any idea of what you might want to do?
Well, I was about to say that I've been thinking about it for such a long time, and I really want to go back to school because I'm kind of getting, tired of what I'm doing, and then... I want to make more money, too.
Right. And do you mean school, college, or do you mean signing up for, learning a new skill?
I want to go to graduate school.
Okay, so you've already got a college degree, so you want to go to graduate school.
Yeah.
And
I work as a teacher's assistant.
Right.
And, I enjoy it, but I'm a little, I'm starting to feel, a little drained.
And I will also tell you this. There's something, TAs, schools are getting people with, college degrees just to be TAs, and they're never going to want to move you into another position because, they're getting a pretty good bargain with you. So you're doing the same work as a teacher, and if you like the teaching, do you like the teaching? Do you like that aspect of it?
Yeah, I do like that aspect of it.
So it would make sense for you to, go back to school to get a graduate degree so you could be an actual teacher. I don't know how hard teaching jobs are to get in New Jersey. They're pretty hard in New York.
I actually teach in New York. I work in New York already. It is hard in New York. You have to – there's, a lot of tests that you have to take to get a license, and those are expensive, which is another aspect of it that I've been, debating about and I've been thinking about. Because the other thing that I was really into before I got into education was social work.
Right. So thinking through whether – could you go back to social work with what degree you have, or do you need a master's for that too, what you want to do?
I would need a master's for that.
Right. And again, it's with teaching. I'm always reluctant to tell anyone to go into teaching right now because I have way too many clients, unemployed teachers. I don't know if you wanted to check out New Jersey, if it's better there for you teaching. But these are things that you have to weigh, the pros and cons of. But social work is always more in demand. Are you aware that there's more jobs in social work because there's many different organizations and things you could work in as a social worker?
But again, if
you like teaching, if teaching's your passion, then of course you would try to follow that passion, where that leads. But again, to get a teaching degree and not be able, not be able to get a teaching job, a full-time job. I mean, a lot of times my clients with master's degrees are doing the TAs. That's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're never being given a job in that school district, by the way, because they're getting a person who's so overqualified for so little money. Why would they put you into teaching? You're already working way below what you should be. So they're going to keep you there. So it's thinking about, which you really want to do. And that's something you might need to, the answer is only going to come from you, not from outside of you. do you like working with children, or would you prefer to be a social worker that works with grown-ups? I mean, those are two different fields entirely, two different means of dealing with people.
Okay. Well,
I mean, would you want to be a social worker in a school? Do you like that?
That's what I was going to say. I like working with kids. I'm just not sure if I could continue in the classroom because I'm starting to feel a little like burned out, you know?
Right, and I'm glad that you're expressing that. Can you see how good God was? He let you be a TA long enough for you to say, uh-uh, I don't think I want to do this. So you saved you from getting a master's degree in teaching because you probably don't want to teach anymore. So can you see the wisdom of God to have allowed you to be in that room long enough to realize maybe that's not what I want to do?
Yeah.
So social work would allow you to still be in a school setting but in a different capacity.
Right.
So, you know, and because you've been a TA and you've been in that world, you really know how the school system works. So I think you've almost answered your own question.
Okay.
I mean, if you're already burnt out, and let's put it this way, there's nothing worse than a burnt out teacher. It's almost like if you don't want to be teaching anymore, you're not good for the students. I mean, I think my daughter who liked school until first grade and then her first grade teacher was old and really burnt and didn't want to teach anymore and was the worst teacher ever. She turned my daughter off for school for a very long time. You know, if you're not really enthusiastic and it's not really your passion anymore, then it would sort of be not something you would be even enthusiastic about going back to school for. It's not going to thrill you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But because social work is in a different capacity, you would approach it with a freshness and a newness. And people are going to have a lot of different careers. So, you know, if you're not that thrilled with teaching anymore, it's your own way of telling, I don't want to do it anymore. It's probably served its purpose. And be grateful you didn't get your master's degree in teaching because that would have probably kept you stuck teaching a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like I kind of have like this, like a nagging voice inside of me, like, you know.
And we can't ignore those. We can't ignore those voices. They don't go away. That nagging voice is saying, don't do it. Don't study something you don't want to do anymore.
Right.
And, you know, you should be really happy because most people don't even know they're not going to love teaching for long because they don't really do it. They get their master's degree and then they get a teaching job and after 5 years they don't want to do it. I have a lot of clients that are teachers 10 years into it, they don't want to be doing it anymore. And like, a lot of times they just want to stay for their pension another decade. Pretty much that's the wrong thing to do because if you're not liking a job, 10 years is an awful long time to say it's something you don't like. I mean, half the time you're going to drop dead from just, you don't want to work it anymore. You'll die before you get your pension. So realize that you know, social work is still will keep you in touch with the children. It will still give you a school capacity, but something entirely different. It looks really good, by the way, the cards on you and social work.
Okay. That's great.
So, you know, sometimes you just almost need to talk to somebody and weigh the things down and see how you feel. And remember, if you're not liking doing a job, it's time to move on. If you're not happy in a relationship, didn't you learn that in your marriage? You weren't happy there. So why keep doing it? You're not happy teaching. Why keep doing it? Life's not, let's just settle because this is the devil we know and let's not make change. So it's good. You've already shaken up your world a lot.
It's funny that you said that because the other day I was thinking exactly that I stayed in my marriage way too long because I was so scared of the unknown, you know. I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to make it on my own, you know. I don't know. Last time we spoke, I didn't tell you I have 4 children, you know.
Right.
And I was so scared, you know. So I stayed in the marriage really, really long. And then I was thinking the other day, you're kind of doing the same thing with your profession, you know. You're sticking to this because you're scared of the unknown. You think you might not be good at it, you know, this you've been doing for a while, you've mastered this, you know that you can do this, but feel safe. And that's why you know, you're just sitting here and just doing this day in and day out.
Right. And
you
can
don't
you
feel
see,
fulfilled.
You've got we're getting guidance from above. We don't have to sell our soul for money, in a marriage to stay for the money, in a work to save. So you couldn't have changed your whole world and taken that leap of faith that I deserve better, and I'm not walking the path of fear, I'm walking the path of love. In your career, walk toward the path of love, something different, something new, and you already had the answer.
Mm-hmm.
It already came to you, but you needed to see, you know, how important and how much you've changed. You've changed enough that you don't want to take the illusion of safety. It's always an illusion, by the way. When we stay in a marriage for money, it's an illusion of safety. God will eventually nuke our house or take it out from under us. If we stay in a job because it's an illusion of security, God will get us laid off. God will get us, you know, to change our world. But it's much better if we do it without God kicking us in the ass. That's what happens. God kicks us in the ass and says, you hate this. I'm kicking you out of there. Now do something. We'll always accept change if it's thrown on us. But very few people can make change without being forced to change. Uh-huh. And what you're doing is being the master of your destiny, and it's a little bit scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But again, if you even got your master's degree, and God knows you don't really want to do the teaching anymore, you wouldn't get a teaching job, and then you would have wasted 2 years getting a degree that's useless for you. So, you know, try to walk that path of love, and God knows you need to support those children, and God knows that you're having a lot of courage, and maybe that's our theme for today. Having courage takes courage to change our life.
Yeah.
And you know, you're demonstrating that all across the board and reinventing yourself and adapting to change. But again, we tend to stay in the job we know how to do because we think, you know, older souls tend to have a great deal of humility, so they tend to think they won't be able to do it. Maybe they're not going to be good at it. Younger souls bullshit their way right through everything. They don't know how to do anything, and they just think they know how to do everything. Older souls are usually very good at what they do, but they get afraid. And they have an imposter. It's called an imposter syndrome, where they always think they're not good enough or they're not the real thing. And you might realize you have that. And I want you to suffer from that
my whole life.
And that's what older souls have. And I knew that I had that my whole life as well. No matter what I did, I always thought somebody would say, well, she's not really a real belly dancer. She's not really a real. Well, what was I? You know, it was. I was always waiting for someone to say, no, she's not really good at what she does. And that's something, it's called an imposter syndrome. We have to work against it. It's sabotaging us. It's, you know, and everybody has a voice that sabotages, by the way, that's an older soul. No matter, you know, what they do, they get afraid. So we have to kind of not listen to that voice. And but it's not an all bad voice because it does make us study harder, work harder, so that we feel like we're not an imposter. So there's some good there.
But
once we know we've done our homework, we've done what we should, then we have to silence that voice and go forward. And
Cindy, can I ask you one last thing?
Sure.
Are the cards showing you anything when it comes to love?
Oh, yes. I'm seeing a really nice soulmate. And again, it may be linked to you picking the right career, picking the change. Maybe you'll meet this person going back to school. So love is coming. You know, your children need to see a better version of love than what you've shown them. So God knows you need a soulmate, and your children need a better father figure.
Right.
And so that's coming too, but it's important that you're standing on your own 2 feet without a man a little bit and getting to know who you are. And can you see, standing on your own 2 feet is giving you courage.
Yeah, definitely. The reason why I'm asking that too is because last time we spoke, I told you about someone I was seeing who just pulled away all of a sudden.
Right, the commitment.
And, I thought it was because of, like, he's a very accomplished person. He's actually a professor, like the other
girl. We got the same call before. I mean, I'm kind of thinking this is like, you were probably listening intently to that call, weren't you?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, my God. And he's very accomplished, and I'm thinking that, I don't know, I just felt like he kept asking me, I remember, like, are you going back to graduate school? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And I thought, like, maybe it's because he felt like I wasn't, like, good enough for him, you know? Like, I wasn't at his level.
No, he was playing the game of blemish. He was looking for something not perfect about you so he could run.
Ah, okay.
So, I mean, just look at it that way. And, of course, you going back to school is a good thing. And again, you know, men run when they're afraid and they look for a game to play. So are you still seeing him or talking with him?
No, I haven't contacted him.
Good. And again, he just looked for an excuse to run. So
yeah, like last time we spoke, I said to him, oh, you think we could talk later? And he gave me an excuse like, oh, no, I can't because somebody, you know, some family was coming over. And I never heard from him again.
Okay. It's called ghosting what he did. He disappeared.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
and
yeah,
Coward
yeah.
the Ghost, I just wrote a blog about it. It's one of the greatest acts of cowardice to just ghost yourself away from a relationship. Have the
right.
truth to tell, look, I'm too fucked up, I can't do this. Sorry. I mean, say something. Don't just disappear. Because it leaves people wondering, did I do something wrong? Was I not good enough? And it does not give the person closure.
Yeah.
And people need to know you're not coming back or you don't think, I mean, but they don't know if they're coming back. They want to keep the door open, these people. But the point is, it shows cowardice that he could not tell you the truth, that, you know, he's scared. So that should already tell you, A, he's narcissistic, because narcissists don't care how they hurt others.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do you want to be involved with another narcissist who it's all about him and not about you at all?
No.
So consider it a blessing that you saw that he just ghosted. He's a coward. He played a mind game with you, making, you know, finding some little blemish that wasn't good enough to run away. But don't think it was you, it's him.
Okay. All right.
So, well, good luck to him. I want to try to get Jimena because she's another client that calls in sometimes. Good luck to you,
Cindy.
And call in
Thank
again.
You.
We love you.
All right,
you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Isn't she a sweet girl? Oh, my goodness. I just love these women tonight. I just love these women. I love them. So we have Jimena. Do you remember she's been going through a long, drawn-out divorce?
Oh,
and some
yes,
major
I do.
Things have happened. She has moved out of her home. Remember, her husband was always threatening he was going to take the kids, and she almost had no choice but to say, then you take them and I move out, because it was really torturous. But this has been very hard for her.
Yeah, I remember
her.
That.
So let's see. But she's got a great new job. God gave her a great new job. So that's the
wonderful.
Good news. So let's hear from Jimena and see what she has to say and what guidance she needs from us tonight.
You got it. If I can get it to turn on. Hello,
Hello.
Jimena, you're on the air.
Hi,
Cindy. Hi, Jimena. So
Hi,
you've got a great job, which we love hearing.
I am so delighted. It's such a wonderful place. It's like something new finally came my way.
And they're treating you with respect and everything.
Yes, respect. They're very happy with me. I'm very happy there. It's a lot of work, but I'm loving it.
Good.
It is wonderful there. Divorce has been a dragging situation. I don't know what's going on here. The judge would not grant neither one of us custody of the kids last week, and just wants us all to go to counseling. That
so
was
if they
day.
Won't grant custody, what does that mean? You both still have custody?
We both have custody, and I had given my husband a wonderful deal months ago, pretty much take it all, and he's denied it because he wants even more. So we have to go to this trial that we thought we were going to have, and the judge said, no, I don't want a trial. I want you guys to go to counseling, and I want you guys to make the decision.
Wow.
Yeah.
And again, you know, this judge is obviously a moron because your husband will not make a decision. You know, he's not capable of making a decision. As far as you go, do you want custody of them still now?
Well, initially I was giving custody to him, but then I figured if we're going to trial, let's fight for the kids. But being that he wouldn't even accept the trial, the judge, it was just a waste of a day. And he said, no, counseling. I don't want to see a trial. I don't want you guys wasting your money. You guys make the decision, and that was it. Now, my attorney tells me just recently, a day ago, that he's going to claim for child support now, and I have to pay him child support because I've removed myself from the home. So I'm stressing out. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, he won't take my deal because he wants something else. He wants me to pay his first credit cards. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, how much more can you want? You
well,
know,
he's never going to stop wanting. So,
right.
You know.
So
no,
now he's playing the whole thing of let's try to work this out. Let's you know. And I'm like, oh my god, it's like, and all I want now at this point is I want to see my kids, and I see them actually less now because I only see them once a week,
for like an hour, because by the time I get in, and then alternating weekends, and now he's trying to be the nice guy again, and I have very mixed feelings. I mean, enough stopping the divorce. I'm not going back to the house to live there. I'm still staying at my parents, but because he wants child support, he's like, well, you know, if it works things out, then I won't claim for child support if you help around the house. And I'm like, I just don't know what to do. I'm like, this is like the never-ending divorce. It's like the judge won't grant the divorce. He wants us to make the decision. If he's like, if we want the divorce, you have to pay me child support. You have to give me this. You have to give me that. It's like, are you kidding? Like, when are you working? It's like, and now when I'm at my mom's, I feel very lonely because I don't see my kids all the time. You know, I hang out with my friends. I feel like I've been on my own for so long now. I feel like it's been a couple of years. I feel like I'm all over the map with
right.
my personal life. It's just like, I don't know when this is going to end.
And again, it's like, going to counseling. Have you set that up at all?
Yes, that the judge is mandating everyone, and the children's attorney is going to set that up. She's going to choose a counselor. I already provided with a list on Tuesday of this week. And she's in charge of setting it immediately for the children, for him, and for myself.
Wow.
That's supposed to start, like, ASAP.
Okay, good, because you need to kind of do that. You know he's going to fight for more money, and you're going to have to figure out how much money you're going to give him for the child support, because he thinks he deserves, you know, a lot. And, you know, that's going to be difficult for you to make up your mind, but... you know, he's not going to, it doesn't look like he's going to be too easy to give you custody of these kids here. Not that he fully wants it. He just wants to make your life hell. So it's up to you to decide what you want and be very clear on it. Do you want joint custody? Is that what you're hoping for?
Yes. I mean, that's what I was offering him, joint custody, and he has residential custody, and he has the home. He denied it because he wants also for me to be liable for his credit card. And I said, no, that's your debt. I have my own debt.
Right,
so
exactly.
That's when we went to the judge, and the judge said, I'm not touching it. You guys have to go to counseling and figure it out, because right now what he sees is that we're both are just arguing, and we want to just seem like who's winning, who's losing. And we're not seeing the best interest of the children. That's
well,
where we're at with the judge.
And realize that, you know, getting the joint custody, doing that kind of thing, you're going to have to go in and just be a little bit firm. You know, the counselor is going to have to be strong and hopefully ream him, because he's going to have to realize that this can't go on forever the way he's being.
Right. And that's what my attorney said. She's hoping that this is going to assist with making him realize the reality of that he's being unrealistic. Like, he was
exactly.
getting a good package, and he can't just keep asking for more and more and more. And she even recommended, like, you know what, maybe you guys might have to go for bankruptcy, unfortunately, because there's just so much debt out there outstanding, especially from him, from his side, because of his business and all the junk he did with it.
Right, of course.
But he doesn't feel like if he has to go bankruptcy, I have to do it too. Like, I fall down with him too. Like, he wants to just screw me all the way. And now that
well, again, that's
job,
why you almost need someone that's financial to advise you. Maybe you need
right.
to go to a bankruptcy lawyer.
Right.
And
is that what you see? Let me.
Yes, I'm seeing here, because if what he wants is his debt away. So
right.
you can't afford to pay off his debt. You guys have grown up tremendous. And anybody listening who doesn't want to settle in a divorce, you guys have chung up huge money that could have paid off all this debt. And
right.
even the judge is realizing you guys are putting your children in financial jeopardy with this.
Right.
So what's sort of being shown here is you need to go to a bankruptcy lawyer. If he wants you to, you know, take over his credit card debt or whatever, you know, both of you, you know, he's your marital partner, so his credit card debt's yours too, you know, whether you like it or not.
Right.
So it's kind of figuring out if you have to go bankrupt, what you have to do, so that you can settle this. But,
okay.
you know, you need to get an advice of a good bankruptcy, person that could help you with this.
And how would I get this? Am I getting this from a friend? As far as getting, I don't even know where to get this information, somewhere where I can get advice correctly.
You could probably ask, your lawyer.
Okay.
She would probably have somebody she could recommend. This way you can get the debt done. That's what he wants. He doesn't want the debt, you know. And, you know.
Hello? Oh, did I lose you? Hello?
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 What happened there?
I don't know. Did we lose her?
It sounds like we did. Cindy, are you there?
Oh, no. I really need to survive. I need to know what to do.
Oh, Jesus, Cindy. Are you there?
Yeah, 2 more minutes.
Oh, my goodness. We lost her.
We were cut off. Did you get me back?
There you are.
There you go. I was just trying to dial in. I couldn't even do it. I don't know. We got cut off. My goodness. I think I have to take that as Jimena's grandfather concerned that she do what I'm telling her. You know,
what is it that I'm not listening to you?
No, he wants to make sure you get yourself out of the financial debt one way or the other from this man.
Okay.
That you have no other choice at this point. And,
okay.
You know, I think once you come with a financial plan that removes his debt that he's, you know, that he's in, then the two of you will probably be able to do the joint custody. It looks like that's what he wants, is the debt gone.
Okay. But this whole thing that he wants to get back, again, he's playing this ridiculous and he wants to get back together again. I'm not buying it. I think he's just using me because he said I have money again.
No, just forget about that entirely. You know what I mean? Just don't even, you know, he doesn't mean any of that. So, you know, he just wants you, you know, your money, like you're saying. So, you know, you have to stop even thinking about ever going back with him. Just push that idea right out of your head.
No. I know. It's just because my kids have this delusion again. Oh, mom and daddy getting back together, and this. I'm like, this is just crazy. I can't keep doing this. This roller coaster ride with my kids. It's like
right. Insanity
all over again.
Right, and that's what I would think that, you know, you would probably need to just settle this, get it done, do it relatively quickly before the judge gets really pissed and probably takes the children away from both of you at this point. You know, I'm just saying you can't keep it. I'm more concerned with you just getting the kids, you know, so you both have joint custody. You know, when your children have this illusion, you're going to have to say that it's not happening. So, you know,
okay. Just
tell them this is not happening. Daddy and I are not getting back together. We're trying to solve this to make it the best that you have both of us in a loving way. But just don't give them that illusion and don't be guilted into it. You've been back
right.
and forth with him so much. This is, you know, it's time to just close that door.
Right.
And don't be guilted by the kids.
No, that's the way I feel. I feel like guilted by my own children. This is like, I get like almost anxiety. I'm like, I can't keep doing this because, you know, my kids sometimes don't want to be by me because we're grandmas. They're like, you know, we want to stay at the house. Grandma doesn't have computers. You know, they're kids. They want electronics. They want this. I'm like, well, I don't have those gadgets. You're going to have to just be happy with what I have and just call it a day.
Well,
you know?
again, they want mommy and daddy to get together, back together so they could use their iPad, they could use their computers. Come on.
Yeah,
this is absurd.
They're
guilting you and all they're caring about is themselves. Can you see that? You know?
Yeah, I know. It's horrible. And do you see me ever just being happy with a partner? Because I feel like this is so stressful. Like, I want to just hang out with someone, but then I'm like, I'm mortified. It's going to be with all this psychotic human being like him.
Well, I would advise you not to go out or see anybody until your divorce is through because that will only make him crazy. So try to, you know, concentrate on your children, your career, and wait for your love life until your divorce papers are signed.
And is that happening this year? Is
it
going to
It looks like it's going to happen. So, again,
okay. Take
care of the debt. That's all he cares about right now.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you. We are at the end of our
you.
Show. Call in again.
Okay.
Good luck. I'm so happy for
thank
your job.
Thank you so
Jimena.
Much. Thank you
Bye.
So much, Cindy.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you, too. Bye.
Now, Nicole, can you see how that just sort of hung up? I'm sure her grandfather channels through a lot. I mean, can you see? she was gonna talk about getting back together and that the kids want. And the universe just cut that right off.
Oh, my goodness.
You have to believe in the wisdom of the universe. Cut right out. Don't even bring that up.
Yeah. Don't even entertain it. We're not speaking about this because it doesn't count.
Can you see that? I mean, I was cracking up,
yep.
And I couldn't even dial back in the show. It wouldn't let me. And I thank you for calling me. I was like, thank you, Nicole. You saved the show.
I didn't even call you.
No. Come on. You didn't call me?
I didn't call you.
The phone rang and I
picked it up. I 150% did not call you. I refreshed my screen on the board. Okay, I saw that your number was still there with your mic still live. You were completely gone, and then all of a sudden you said, "Hey, we got caught over there," and there you were again.
No, what happened was the phone rang, and then I picked it up, and you were on it.
Yeah, no.
So
I guess
the minute Grandpa redialed the phone for us, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, go back into the archives. That's not the way it happened on our end.
Okay, well, I find that interesting. Well, you got to love this show. We never know what's going to happen, you know? It's lots of fun.
Oh, so great.
Well, we want to thank all our listeners. And, Nicole, thank you so much for always being my hostess with the mostest.
Well, thank you, Cindy. And as always, you did a wonderful job today. Thank you so much. And I'm sure that all of our listeners and your fans thank you just as much, too. You know, the show takes a lot out of you sometimes, you know, depending on the day and the kinds of calls you get. And everybody appreciates you, including myself.
Thank you so much. And have a great week. Bye.
Bye.